Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call the show Baltimore Positive. Is it a podcast? Is it a radio show? Our next guest has enjoyed both parts of that. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We will have Magic 8-Ball scratch-offs to give away on Friday at Pizza John's. We're in Toronto, Canada. I'm hoping I have my U.S. passport. The next guest is going to speak to me about the power of citizenship. And I hope to get back into the country so I can do the show and appear at Fadley's on the 2nd of April for the second Oriole game. Red Sox will be in town at that point. We'll see how the Orioles are doing. This guy joined me at Fadley's at one time as the attorney general for the great free state of Maryland. He is now a practicing attorney somewhere south of the border of Baltimore, down there in the Washington, suburb communities of Bethesda and beyond. Brian Frost joins us as our defending champion here of all things democracy. I mean, I run into you in Baltimore, but it turns out you're not here as much as you used to be when you were sort of running things around here, huh?
No, I was there every day, Nestor. I miss it, but it's a serious commute.
Well, I invited you to Fadley's over, like, and you know you when I invite you know you want a Fadley's crab cake right now. But I invited you down, and
Yes.
you're like, "No, I'm down here." And I said, "Great, come on via Zoom," because I think every minute of every day we're losing some something here, and I'm not sure what it is from Schumer last week. And if people hear this on the other end, I'm just a guy from Dundalk who knows lawyers, and you happen to be one of the most powerful ones I've ever known at the state level. We ran into each other a couple months ago. We've been trying to put this thing together. I think Trump wasn't the president when I ran into you because it was like in
He was
December.
not.
It's been like 90 days since I saw you. Where are you on all this? Because you're smarter and know the law better than anyone. Is this getting ahead of us, or are we get, is this really getting out of hand as you see it?
Well, I think it's extremely dangerous. I think the stuff that Trump is doing is puts our democracy in great danger, and it's intentional, it's planned. There's good news and bad news here. I think the Democratic attorneys general, who are the last line of defense at the moment until we retake the House of Representatives, they've been doing a very good job. They've been, Trump issued his birthright citizenship executive order right after he was sworn in. The Democratic attorneys general were in court the next day, challenging it, and a day or two later, the court enjoined it. So, the bad news is they have this elaborate plan, the Project 2025 stuff, and they're executing on that, and they're doing it in rapid fire succession. I think they want to overwhelm us, and we can get into that a little more later. The good news is because they had a roadmap, the Democratic attorneys general, I think, have been preparing for all the challenges that come with it, and they've done a very good job so far. But every day that one of these terrible executive orders or list of firings goes on, it reduces the resistance a little more. It's one hammer blow after another, and yes, I think democracy is in peril.
I think you went a little further in civics class and in law school than I did at the University of Baltimore, but checks and balances. I mean, I go back to Schoolhouse Rock and I go back to seventh grade social studies with Mr. Schley, Miss Simpkins, my great teachers, Mr. Zents. Checks and balances. What do regular people need to know about that, and whether that's really accurate in a time where I don't know that our forefathers thought someone this compromised, that this kind of system where a guy could donate $270 million to a campaign and then walk into the Oval Office with his kids sassing the President of the United States. I mean, this has all gone on in 6 weeks, Brian.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's only been a short time. We got many, many years to tolerate this. But yeah, they are the checks and balances are all contingent upon the rule of law. In Marbury versus Madison, back in the beginnings of our nation after the Constitution was first signed, the Supreme Court held that it had the power to review the constitutionality of acts by Congress or the president. And if they were, you know, not compliant with the Constitution, they were null and void, couldn't be enforced. And every president up to now, there have been minor exceptions. Andrew Jackson mouthed off about, you know, something way back in the early 19th century. But all the other presidents of the United States have said, okay, you know, if the courts tell me I can't do it, I'm not doing it. Or if the court enjoins me from X or Y, or tells me I've got to do something to protect the people, I'll do it. I'm going to follow the rule of law. Well, what Trump has done, and you can see him pushing it right up to and perhaps over the edge already, is that, yeah, you know, judges don't have the authority to stop the president. And there is going to come a time where a court issues an order, Trump clearly, openly, and defiantly refuses to follow it. And then what happens? He controls the military. He controls the Congress at the moment. The question is, what happens when he commits the ultimate and original sin in a democracy of saying, yeah, I'm not paying any attention to what anybody else has said. We're doing it my way.
I thought the insurrection was that, Brian.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was. He claimed that he really had nothing to do with it. It was just peaceful protesters, despite all the footage that you've seen on TV. And that he didn't tell them to commit violence, but he certainly encouraged them to the point where they understood, and I think most of the rest of the folks in the United States understood, that he was encouraging them. And he got what he asked for. I mean, we ought to talk about.
Well, why does the legal process in this country move too slow? I mean, in four years later, somehow he became president of the United States again, and he should be under a prison. I mean, really, for a crime committed in full view of the American people, in front of every congressman, in front of every senator, in front of the entire world in real lifetime. I'm concerned that he didn't go to prison for that, and that sort of the original sin part of that was, it feels like everything moved really slow afterward. Yep. And it feels like the Democrats, and it feels like Biden and everything there, but like they didn't push that where it needed to go, and we're all going to pay the price for that. Ukraine's paying the price. Lots of people, federal employees are. I mean, yeah. The cost of that right now is, it's been very expensive for our country to not put that man in prison.
Yeah, I mean, this has been Trump's modus operandi since he was a kid or a young adult. I mean, when he and his father ran their real estate empire, they got in all kinds of trouble. Contractors would work for him and they'd stiff him, make the contractor come in and sue, and usually get him to settle for less. They, you know, let working people, people working for them, operate in dangerous conditions. Trump has been very successful at being a bully and getting people to back down. All of his enterprises were in bankruptcy in the mid-1990s, and he somehow persuaded the banks that he owed money to, and it was hundreds of millions. He persuaded them that you're better off if you don't change the name of the operations, because people want to go to the Trump Casino, et cetera. And so they actually didn't force him to liquidate all of his assets. And they paid him something to let them continue to use his name. It's really kind of amazing. But he's been very successful at just being obstinate and a bully. And he's taken it to the ultimate point here.
Well, it's never not worked, right? It's never not worked.
For him, yeah.
Rapes, felonies, crime, it's never not worked for him. It's always worked for him. Yeah, I'm discouraged, I, and I'm I'm stunned that the people of this country want to take that direction. And I'm going to learn when I pull my passport out up at the Peace Bridge, aptly named, in Buffalo, driving over to Toronto. The Orioles are going to learn next Thursday. The fans are going to, I mean, that this might be a joke to someone who voted for him in Middle River, but this isn't funny around the world. I mean, it isn't at all. The seriousness of this, it feels like it's slow moving, but now it feels fast, and it feels like the only thing we have are lawyers and maybe honest people, but they're certainly not in his cabinet. I don't look at Linda McMahon as an educator.
Come on. Yeah, I mean, it's a joke. I mean, the other thing that he's doing that's extremely dangerous is he's trying to crush dissent. He's afraid of the so-called elite universities. He's trying to shut them up. He says to Columbia, I'm going to cut $400 million out of federal grants and loans to you. He's threatening the University of Pennsylvania. He knows who's against him and who's for him, and he's punishing the people who are against him. And he the you know what he did with the Perkins Coie, the law firm that represented Biden and the Democratic Party and others, is he said, okay, I'm revoking all of your security clearances and all and you're not allowed on federal property. Well, if you're a lawyer and your business is related to the government, that's a killer. You can't take clients. You can't represent them adequately. And so he's trying to shut them up. And unfortunately, I think it's you haven't heard from a lot of the big law firms standing up in support of Perkins Coie, even though, Trump's conduct is baseless, it's pretextual.
We have a lot of problems sticking together here as a society.
Yeah.
I'm states, governors, red states, blue states. This is right out of the Russian divide and conquer, right? Like, I mean, there is a civil war happening in this country every day. I take it out onto the streets every day. There are pickup trucks with Trump signs on them, and then there's the rest of us. And there's really a bullying part of all of this with federal employees, with federal government, with privatization. And really behind all of it is just a lot of really dirty money, and really not dirty American money, dirty South African money, dirty Saudi money, dirty Chinese money, and certainly whatever the Russia thing is from Trump going over to Moscow years ago and whatever hold Putin has on him. Brian, I am astonished. I mean, I had Brian Frosch is our guest. He's the former attorney. Do I have to call you attorney? Once you're attorney, is it like me? Are you a governor forever or no? You're the
Well,
former.
I mean, you can assume the title forever if you wish. You should call me Brian.
I'm going to call you Brian, and I appreciate that. Brian Frosch is here. He's our former attorney general. We're talking all things democracy. But the Russian part of this, I had a. Look, we've all lost friends, right? Or clients. I mean, all of it, right? Family members down the line. But the thing with Zelensky a couple of weeks ago, not that all of it and that the first time, and if you forgot it, the fact that they flew a man whose people have been murdered across the world and put him in the Oval Office to meet him in live time, to re really the kind of stuff that would create world wars back in the day, right? Back in 19 in the early 1900s, the Ferdinands. This is how you don't do that, and you don't call the Premier of Canada governor. Yeah, I mean, but it all started with little Marco, who now works for him, and Lion Ted and his wife, and shooting cat. Like, it's unbelievable the bootlickers that are available in this country, who the stick together part to say, I saw it, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, it really is astonishing. Pipsqueak J.D. Vance lecturing the democratically elected leader of a sovereign nation about how he should be grateful for what Donald Trump is doing. Donald Trump is stabbing him in the back. It's really obvious. I don't know why Trump is so beholden to Vladimir Putin. It's a scary situation, but he is. And he's, Vladimir Putin's story is, oh, Ukraine provoked the war. provoked an attack on the sovereignty of Ukraine by Russia. Ukraine wasn't engaged in any hostile activity, but Russia was. And they started a much bigger nation, much more resources. And J.D. Vance is lecturing of the president of the Ukraine about how he should act and what he should say.
If Trump brought Kamala Harris in, poisoned her, imprisoned her, and murdered her, that would be on par with what Vladimir Putin did to Navalny. I tried to explain that to a dry cleaner here last week, who runs franchises here, that's unacceptable to me. And I don't want to represent businesses that think that that's acceptable. And I don't have any problem doing that. But I own an FCC license. I'm a public figure. I'm a journalist. Brian, I'm a Venezuelan descent. And I'm not a gang member. Nor are my family members who reside around the country. Just all of this is, it's beyond the pale of what I thought I would ever be discussing with you when I met you 10 years ago.
Right. I mean, it did not seem to me 10 years ago that racism was going to be acceptable in any form. And the few instances in which it was open and flagrant were either punished or denounced. But right now, you've got an administration that's determined to wipe out any recognition that we have of folks who've been mistreated, maltreated, and continue to suffer from racism.
I mean, war heroes, Jackie Robinson. If I had talked to you earlier this week, it was Jackie Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we didn't do enough to Jackie Robinson when he was alive to demean him, right? Like, literally, right? He didn't. That story hasn't been told for 100 years to all of us, right? Every time we watch a baseball game.
You're absolutely right.
Brian Frosch is here. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be interrupted. Keep going. We're going to go on, but I'm trying to figure out what the remedies are from a guy who ran the state for law here to why we shouldn't be trusting the Russians. To why I'm trying to explain this to American citizens that this isn't anything that any of us should be supporting.
Well, I certainly don't think it is. I mean, Trump, it now seems almost quaint, but in his first term, he made clear very early that he was going to accept money from people. And, you know, there just was coincidentally an impact on the way he handled issues that related to him.
Well, the Trump Hotel was basically that front the first time
exactly.
around. Mark Leibovich is going to join me in 2 weeks. He wrote a great book about that.
Yeah. The Attorney General of the District of Columbia, Carl Racine, and I filed suit to stop him from doing that. President of the United States isn't allowed to get money from foreign countries, whether it's laundered through a hotel or what, a golf course or whatever. It's also not allowed to receive anything from the United States government in the way of compensation other than his salary. And yet, you know, Secret Service agents were having to pay for exorbitant rent at his resorts when he would go there so that they could follow him around in golf carts that they had to rent to watch him cheat at golf. That was just, I'm not sure you could make a direct connection in terms of bribery, but it violated the United States Constitution. The emoluments clauses of the United States Constitution, our original anti-corruption law. That was where he started from. It's gone much, much further than that now. And, you know, $270 million in campaign support by one person, made possible by Trump's Supreme Court appointments and other Republican appointments in the Citizens United case, which says, okay, corporations are people. They have a free speech right as long as they're, you know, writing their own ads.
Well, yeah, my perfectly wife and okay. I had a conversation about that the other day with Citizens. You obviously understand it and have studied it. What do citizens need to know about Citizens United and knowing that that might have been, you know, the apple in the Garden of Eden, right? Like, that's probably at the heart of all of this. That's how Trump got elected. Look, I saw it on my timeline in 2016 when my father-in-law, who served in Vietnam, who loves this country, was openly sharing Russian propaganda. You could tell by the AI that was writing it, the early AI that was writing the way the words, like literally, and I saw it, and it was just conservative times, conservative, all the Cambridge Analytica, everything that went into 2016. It was a really dirty election because it was a social media election at a time when Zuckerberg, nobody knew how to combat it, and really, Elon Musk's combating of it was to buy it and wreck it. I was a journalist, Brian, you'll appreciate this. The first word on my personal Twitter in the Twitter era was journalist. I was eliminated from Twitter within 7 days of when Elon Musk bought it. And when,
Really?
and then you write and you say, I was eliminated from Twitter within 7 days of Elon Musk because journalist was the first word in my algorithm.
It's
And I've
amazing.
never been back on. They would never. They destroyed all my pic. I mean, everything was just gone within a week. You've been exited. I mean, literally, not too different than what the Ravens and the Orioles have done to me as a journalist to say you're not really a journalist anymore. We're same as your federal lawyers. We're not going to let you do your job anymore. We're not going to give you access to do what you are licensed to do. And when that happens, you know what I do? I turned to attorneys, Brian, and I had no recourse at all as a journalist, even though the Orioles and the Ravens play in publicly funded stadia, even though they're allowing my Caucasian employee access and I'm Venezuelan. Like all of that, every attorney laughed me out. And I'm thinking, like, now that the shit has hit the fan for the country, I know all we've got are you or maybe rogue military people. And that's we're really getting to a strange place when we're starting to talk about that. But all
Absolutely.
we have are attorneys. That's that is the last line of, and I guess the will of the people, but that would be bloodshed in most cultures, across centuries. I don't know where this will be if the courts aren't strong enough, because I know this, and you know this, and everyone, his integrity will, he's a morally bankrupt human. There will be no end to this, unless it is stopped, and it has to be stopped by lawyers.
That's absolutely right. And Nestor, as you say, that process moves pretty slowly, and Trump is taking full advantage of that. I mean, the idea that he's tearing apart the U.S. government, mass firings of government employees that are, baseless, that are, he fired everybody who was a provisional employee on the pretext that they hadn't done a good job. And yes, these folks are on probation for 2 years after they're appointed, but that doesn't mean you can fire them and say, "Well, you all tens of thousands of you all did bad jobs, so we're getting rid of you." And the point is, he's trying to hollow out federal government from the top to the bottom. He wants people in there who, whenever he wants something done, will say, "Yes, Mr. Trump." That's it. Nobody is going to stand up to him the way they did during his first term, where he had people who actually had experience in the
He
upper echelons
called an
of government.
election judge and tried to roll an election judge in jury. Like I think to myself, if Johnny O did that, he's in prison. If Larry Hogan did that, he's in prison. If Wes Moore did that, he's in. If anyone, Barbara, if anyone in the history of Maryland, Spiro Agnew, you go to prison for doing that stuff. Like I'm just blown away at the lawlessness and the support for it. That there really is a ground level of white power support in this country that will look the other way on any and all of this. And that's the frightening part. That's the part that doesn't add up for a 56-year-old citizen.
Well, I mean, Nestor, I think you're giving a little too much credit. He's got a solid core of 30, 35% of people who, will kiss his feet no matter what he does. He, as he said, I could murder somebody in on Fifth Avenue and wouldn't be a problem. That's the way he's lived his life. But
Well, he ordered
if things,
generals to take down Americans in the square a couple years ago when he held the Bible upside down, right? Like
just.
that's on the record too, right? He wanted military action against his citizens. He
He
ordered
just
it.
wanted, come on, Nestor. He just wanted to shoot him in the legs.
That's all.
It
Is that
wasn't a big
okay?
deal.
Is that I should ask you, is that okay?
Well, he's looking for a general who will say it is. He's fired the ones who we know will say that it isn't okay. And that's his goal. He wants a bunch of yes men and yes women in office, and when he wants something done, they won't question it. They'll just do it. And it means that the rest of us are in a lot of trouble. I mean, you speak out, you're going to get, if you're not prosecuted, they'll do something to try to hurt your business, or they'll do something to try to hurt your family. I don't think he's above that in the least. You know, he'll revoke your security clearance. He'll revoke government contract, even though, you know, the contract is enforceable in court. But he'll say, well, you know, you've done a lousy job, we're not paying. And then you're like the contractors that did the real estate work for him. You've got to hire a lawyer. You've got to go to court. You got to fight and spend tens of thousands of bucks in attorney's fees to recover, you know, whatever it is that he owes you. He's going to make his opponents suffer. That's his, it seems to be, you know, that what he's all about is being vindictive, getting back at the people who he thinks done him wrong.
Retaliatory government. Brian Frosch didn't act in that manner as the attorney general here in the great state of Maryland for a number of years. He's now in practice. What are you doing before I let you go? Because I know your time's short. We got a window. Sure. Please come have a crab cake with me when you're on Baltimore. What are you practicing, trying to keep people safe?
So I'm technically not practicing law per se. I'm giving advice to folks. I'm acting as a consultant. I do a lot of work with Maryland's, the State Bar's Access Justice Commission. I do some work for Bloomberg Philanthropies on climate issues. And I try to keep myself busy trying to promote things like civil rights. And
what about media rights? Let me know if you can get my media pass back with the Orioles and the Ravens while democracy falls apart, because that's where I want to be standing when when it all falls apart at home plate at Camden Yards in the publicly funded stadium. Brian Frosch is here. He is the former Attorney General of Maryland. I got to let you run. Please come have a crab cake. And I hope we're, you know, the next time we talk, we're finding better things to talk about, quite frankly, because there's a lot of great things going on. You know, we got a bridge to read, but we got a lot of things going on that are local, but it's really hard to think locally when this is going on down the road in D.C.
It sure is. And thank you for what you're doing, Nestor. I appreciate the opportunity to join you, and I really appreciate what you have to say.
Well, I cheapened the thing by not getting you a crab cake, so I owe you two next time out. Brian Frosch is here, former Attorney General of the state of Maryland, still doing the good work. You can find him out on the interwebs. He is still tweeting and Xing and social meeting. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We will be back on the beat at Fadley's on the 2nd of April. We hope to see you there. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.